Good morning, ladies, and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a Bible reading podcast from Israel. I'm Sophia, and I will be your reader today. Today is Friday, the 16th of June, which is the 22nd of Sivan on the Hebrew calendar. Because today is Friday, today we have a special double episode where I'll also read tomorrow's portions for Shabbat. Today in history, we read that Miriam is punished with tzaharat, biblical leprosy, tradition from Numbers 12. Quote, "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" When the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "O God, heal her, I pray." This week's Torah portion is called Shlach, which means send. And today's portion from the Torah is Numbers 15, verse 17 through 26. We're going to start by blessing the Lord. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples, through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Bnei Israel. Say to them, when you enter the land to which I am taking you, and you eat some of the food of the land, you are to offer a portion to Adonai. You are to offer a cake from the first of your ground-up meal, as an offering from your threshing floor. So you are to lift it up. Throughout your generations to come, you are to give this offering from the first of your ground-up meal. If you unintentionally fail, not keeping any of these mitzvot that Adonai related to Moses, that is, anything that Adonai commanded you through Moses' hand, from the day Adonai commanded and onward, throughout your generations, and it is done unintentionally, out of sight of the community, then the entire community is to offer one young bull from the herd for a burnt offering, as a pleasing aroma to Adonai, along with its appropriate grain offering and drink offering, and one male goat as a sin offering. So the Kohen will make atonement for the entire community of Bnei Israel, and they will be forgiven, for it was unintentional, and they brought a fire offering and their sin offering to Adonai for their error. So the whole community of Bnei Israel, along with the outsider residing among them, will be forgiven. For all the people were involved in unintentional wrongdoing. That was Numbers 15, 17 through 26. Our prophet portion for today is Jeremiah chapter 33. Then the word of Adonai came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still confined in the guard's courtyard, saying, "Thus says Adonai the Maker, Adonai who formed it to make it firm. Adonai is his name. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things which you do not know. For thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are torn down against the siege ramps and against the sword." Excuse me. "They are coming to fight with the Chaldeans, but they are about to fill them with the dead bodies of the people whom I will slay in my anger and in my fury. I have hidden my face from the city because of all their wickedness. Indeed, I will bring it health and healing, and I will surely heal them. I will reveal to them an abundance of shalom and truth. I will restore Judah from exile and Israel from exile, and will rebuild them as in former times. I will also cleanse them from all their iniquity in which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their wrongs in which they have sinned against me, and in which they have rebelled against me. Then this city will be to me for a name of joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth, which will hear all the good that I do for them. So they will fear and tremble because of all the good and for all the shalom that I do for it." Thus says Adonai, yet again in this place, which you are saying is a waste without man or beast, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, the desolate, without man, without inhabitant, and without beast, there will be heard the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them who say, give thanks to Adonai Tzvaot, for Adonai is good, for his love endures forever. As they bring offerings of thanksgiving into the house of Adonai, for I will restore the land from the exile as it was at first, declares Adonai. Thus says Adonai Tzvaot, yet again will there be in this place, which is waste, without man and without beast, and in all its cities a pasture of shepherds, making their flocks lie down. In the towns of the hill country, in the towns of the foothills, in the towns of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, will the flocks again pass under the hands of one who counts them, declares Adonai. Behold, days are coming. It is a declaration of Adonai, when I will fulfill the good word I spoke concerning the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days will Judah be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, Adonai, our righteousness. For thus says Adonai, for David, there will not be cut off a man sitting on the throne of the house of Israel, nor will the Levitical Kohanim ever lack a man before me to offer burnt offering, to burn grain offerings, and to make sacrifices continually. And the word of Adonai came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says Adonai, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night would not be at in their appointed time, only then may my covenant be broken with my servant David, that he would not have a son to reign on his throne, and the Levitical Kohanim would not be my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so I will multiply the offspring of David my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. The word of Adonai came to Jeremiah, saying, have you noticed what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which Adonai did choose, he has rejected them? Thus they despise my people, no longer a nation before them. Thus says Adonai, if I have not made my covenant of day and night firm, and the fixed patterns ordering the heavens and earth, only then would I reject the offspring of Jacob and of my servant David, so that I would not take from his offspring rulers over the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will restore them from their exile and have compassion on them. That was Jeremiah 33. Our writing portion for today is Daniel chapter 6. So Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the whole kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. These satraps were accountable to them so that the king would not be troubled. Now this Daniel was distinguishing himself among the supervisors and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit in him. In fact, the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. At this time, the supervisors and satraps tried to find ground for a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they were unable to find fault or corruption because he was a trustworthy. Because he was trustworthy, and no negligence or dishonesty could be found in him. Finally, these men said, we're not going to find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless we find something against him regarding the law of his God. So these supervisors and satraps went into the king as a group and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the supervisors of the realm, the magistrates and the satraps, ministers and governors, have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man for 30 days other than you, O king, will be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it may not be altered, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Thereupon King Darius issued the written decree. Now when Daniel learned that a written decree had been issued, he went into his house, where the windows in his upper room opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he knelt down, prayed, and gave thanks before his God, just as he did before. Then these men came as a group and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So they approached the king and spoke to him about the royal decree. Didn't you issue a written decree that anyone who prays to any god or man for 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king replied, The decree stands according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they answered and said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this report, he was deeply distressed, and he set his mind on how he might rescue Daniel. Until sunset, he struggled to find a way to save him. Then these men came as a throng into the king and said to the king, Remember, O king, that it is law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or edict which the king issues may be altered. So the king gave the order, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the lion's den. Now the king spoke to Daniel, saying, May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. A stone was brought to block the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his nobles, so that nothing could be changed regarding Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. No entertainment was brought before him. He was unable to sleep. At dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. As he reached the den, he cried out to Daniel with a voice of anguish. The king spoke out to Daniel, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve continually, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel spoke to the king, May the king live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they haven't harmed me, because I was found innocent before him. Nor have I committed any crime against you, O king. Then the king was overjoyed and ordered Daniel taken up out of the den. So Daniel was lifted out of the pit. No injury of any kind was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den. They, their children, and their wives. They had not even reached the bottom of the pit before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages dwelling in all the earth, May your peace be abundant. I issue a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, people are to tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He delivers and rescues. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. That was Daniel chapter 6. Our last portion for Friday, which is from the apostolic writings, is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Messiah. Now I praise you, because you remember me in everything, and hold firm the traditions, just as I passed them on to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Messiah, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Messiah is God. Every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For it is one and the same as having been shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her cut off her hair. But if it is shameful for a woman to have her hair cut off or to be shaved, let her cover her head. For surely a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. In any case, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, and man is not independent of woman. For just as the woman came from the man, so also the man comes through the woman. But all things are from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Doesn't the natural order of things teach you? If a man has long hair, it's a disgrace for him. But if a woman has long hair, it's her glory, for her hair was given to her as a covering. But if anyone intends to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do God's communities. But in giving you this instruction, I do not praise you, for when you meet together, it does more harm than good. For first of all, when you come together as Messiah's community, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it, for there must be factions among you, so that those among you who are tried and true may be evident. Therefore, when you meet together in the same place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for each one takes his own supper beforehand, and one goes hungry, while another one gets drunk. What? It is certainly not that you do not have houses, is it? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise God's community and try to humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I don't praise you for this. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Yeshua, on the night he was betrayed, took matzah, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in memory of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the Lord's cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For the one who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and quite a few have died. For if we were judging ourselves thoroughly, we wouldn't be coming under judgment. But when we are judged, we're being disciplined by the Lord, so that we might not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you meet, it doesn't lead to judgment. And the rest I will put in order when I come. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which concludes Daily Bread for Friday. Now we're going to move on to the readings for Shabbat, which is June 17th and the 23rd of Sivan on the Hebrew calendar. For Shabbat, this Shabbat in history, we read that Mordecai writes to everyone in the Medo-Persian Empire concerning the king's decree that the Jews can defend themselves, Esther 8:9. Quote, "So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces, which extend from India to Ethiopia." Now we're going to read the last Aliyah, or the last of the seven weekly portions from the parasha called Shlach, which means send. And the last one of this week is Numbers 15:27 through 41. But if one person should sin unintentionally, he is to bring a year-old female goat for a sin offering. The Kohen is to make atonement before Adonai for that person who erred by sinning without intent, and he is to be forgiven when atonement has been made for him. Whether a native born of Bnei Israel or an outsider living among them, one Torah applies to you for the one sinning unintentionally. But the person who sins defiantly, whether native or outsider, reviles Adonai, and that person is to be cut off from his people. Because he has despised the word of Adonai and has broken his commandment, that person will certainly be cut off. His guilt will remain on him. While Bnei Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses, Aaron, and the entire assembly. They kept him under arrest, not being clear what was to be done to him. Adonai said to Moses, "The man has to die. The whole assembly is to stone him with stones outside the camp." So the whole assembly took him outside the camp. They stoned him with stones, and he died just as Adonai commanded Moses. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Bnei Israel. Say to them that they are to make for themselves tzitzit on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and they are to put a blue cord on each tzitzit. It will be your own tzitzit, so whenever you look at them, you will remember all the mitzvot of Adonai and do them, and not go spying out after your own hearts and your own eyes, prostituting yourselves. This way you will remember and obey all my mitzvot, and you will be holy to your God. I am Adonai your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Adonai your God." That was Numbers 15:27 through 41. The Haftarah portion of this Shabbat is Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 through 24. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent out two spies from Shittim, saying, "Go, explore the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some men from Bnei Israel have just come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who came to you, who entered your house, for they have come to spy out all the land." But the woman took the two men and hid them and said, "Yes, the men did come to me, but I didn't know where they were from." So when it was time to shut the gate at dark, the men went out, and I don't know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax that she had spread out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the fords of the Jordan. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to the men, I know that Adonai has given you the land. Dread of you has fallen on us, and on all the inhabitants of the land are melting in fear before you. For we have heard how Adonai dried up the water of the Sea of Reeds before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard about it, our hearts melted, and no spirit remained any more in anyone because of you. For Adonai your God, He is God, in heaven above and on earth beneath. So now, please swear to me by Adonai, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's house. Give me a true sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, and save our lives from death. The men said to her, Our life for yours, if you don't report this business of ours. Then it will be, when Adonai gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and loyally with you. So she lowered them down by a rope through the window, for her house was in the wall. She was living in the wall. Then she said to them, Go to the hill country, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Afterward, you may go your way. Then the men said to her, We will be released from this oath that you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you tie this line of scarlet thread in the window through which you lowered us down, and gather to yourself in the house of your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Whoever goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood will be on his head, and we will be innocent. But whoever is with you in the house, his blood will be on our head if any hand is laid on him. But if you divulge this business of ours, then we will be released from your oath and you have made us that you have made us swear. So she said, According to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away. After they had gone, she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Then they departed and came to the hill country. They stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had looked for them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned, came down from the hill country, crossed over, and came to Joshua, son of Nun. They reported to him all that had befallen them. Surely Adonai has given all the land into our hands, they said to Joshua. Indeed, all the inhabitants of the land have melted in fear before us. That was Joshua chapter 2. Today's portion from the apostles is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 4:13. Therefore, just as the Ruach HaKodesh says, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness. There your fathers put me to the test, though they saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked by this generation, and I said, They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil heart of unbelief that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day by day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Messiah, if we hold our original conviction firm until the end, as it is said, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now which ones heard and rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt with Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Was it not to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter in because of lack of trust. Let us fear then, though a promise of entering his rest is left open, some of you would seem to have fallen short. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the word they heard did not help them, because they were not unified with those who listened in faith. For we who have trusted are entering into that rest. It is just as God has said, "So in my wrath I swore, they shall never enter my rest." Even though his works were finished since the foundation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this passage, "They shall never enter my rest." So then it remains for some to enter into it. Yet those who formerly had good news proclaimed to them did not enter because of disobedience. Again, God appoints a certain day, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as it had been said before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So there remains a Shabbat rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered God's rest has also ceased from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through the same pattern of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing right through to a separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. That was Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 4 and 13. Thank you for listening. And I want to wish you a wonderful and blessed Shabbat. I hope that you'll be with us again after Shabbat. Again, have a wonderful Shabbat. I'm Sophia with Daily Bread for Busy Moms, coming to you from Jerusalem. Shalom until next time.